Yesterday we began a conversation about the church at Pergamum. And as we did that, we looked at their history, the number of people, 190,000 population, the fact that it was inundated with occultic worship, four particular gods that were idol worship there. And we mentioned Antipas as the martyr of that church. Now, when I look at this, I see that commendation. Despite living in such a dark environment, the believers held fast to Jesus' name. They didn't sway. They didn't waver. They stayed on the task. They desired to make Christ known. And so, because of that, there was a martyr there that was honored among them, and his name is Antipas. Antipas was a martyr of the early church, and I think sometimes we fail to look at the martyrs. You know, in the New Testament, we find four explicitly named for us. John the Baptist, of course, was the first martyr. He gave his life for the message of faith, of the message of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, Jesus Christ was martyred. He died. And Stephen was that one who was stoned to death, that Saul stood by and watched as he held the coats. And James, the son of Zebedee, was also martyred. But we forget sometimes the fourth one, and that's Antipas of Pergamum. Because you see, he was commended as the fifth martyr, and he was commended as one who was worthy of honor and worthy of respect. Look back at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. If you're driving, don't. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. You hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, one who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. Antipas stands as an example of one who resists evil and who would gain reward. Not everyone had forgotten about Antipas. He's venerated. Not everyone has forgotten about Antipas. He's venerated as a saint in several traditions. April the 11th is often observed as a feast day in the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholic churches. But for most Protestants, we only come across him when we read Revelation. So we need to see why Jesus mentioned Antipas in the letter to Pergamum. We need to understand that Jesus had a purpose here. He made him significant among the people at Pergamum. Antipas' name means my faithful witness. And of course, the Greek word for witness is martyrs. It's the word we derive the word martyr from. This implies that Antipas remained faithful to his testimony, and he stood for what was truth and right, even though it cost him his life. The cause of his death seems connected to the spiritual reality of Pergamum, because Jesus mentions him two times that Pergamum is where Satan's throne is, where Satan dwells. And while Satan is identified as the implied cause behind Antipas's martyrdom, there would have been human agents carrying out the execution. Just as Jesus writes to the angel of each of the churches, addressing the earthly congregation, Satan works through human instruments. And that's why understanding the religious and the political background of Pergamum, the content of Pergamum, in the first century is a key to understanding Antipas's martyrdom. I didn't have time to go through this Sunday morning, but there's four cults that were here at Satan's throne. There was the imperial cult, that was emperor worship. There was a temple dedicated to Augustus. It was established in Pergamum. It was one of the earliest centers of emperor worship. The altar of Zeus was there as well. Some have even said that that must have been the throne because of the way the statue was created. And it was there that that massive altar was dedicated to Zeus, a chief deity of the Greeks. There's Asclepion. The city housed a healing center. It was a place dedicated to the god of medicine, Asclepion. And so, in this house, there were rituals that was connected to serpents, religious healing practices. Patients sought cures through various rituals, sleep, water treatments, etc., etc. And then, of course, the famous physician Galien studied at this center. Perhaps Satan's throne was alive and well at Pergamum. By the way, our medical symbol is a snake. That's where it came from. And here Satan dwells among these cults that were at Pergamum. And so Antipas stood against the lies that the cults were propagating. And because of his willingness to stand for the truth, it cost him his life. He was martyred. We're told that he was martyred by being placed in a bull-shaped altar, and there he was killed. I think the lesson here for us is simple, but quite pointedly at us. We have within the church, and we'll see tomorrow, two of the influences that had come in and crept into the church that had caused it to be corrupted, compromising. We have allowed Satan's throne to be established even in our modern day worship services, even in our lives, as we've compromised the truth of God's word. And so the lesson is simple, the lesson is true, but yet it's layered. You and I need to understand that we must stand for truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind. Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ rose again for us. Jesus Christ is coming again for us. We must tell the gospel, even in the midst of such hatred and bitterness. We must stand for truth. And we must take the gospel to the world. Instead of whispering it, we need to proclaim it. Instead of hiding it, we need to let the light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our God in heaven. We must go feed the hungry. We must go and clothe the naked. We must go and give water to the thirsty. We must go and give bread to the hungry. It's important. It's vital. It's what we must do. Let's look at this again tomorrow. Father, thank you so much for the reminder of your word. To stand, to be faithful, to not back down, to not give up, and to keep proclaiming the word of God. May you, Lord, be glorified in our lives. And let us make much of you and little of ourselves. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.